In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, hello again, my friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast, sponsored by the Church of God International. Today's program is going to deal with a very sensitive subject. It deals with our children. Children, a gift of God. But as we look around our society today, we see an overwhelming amount of evidence that indicates it's easy to have a child. It is far harder to rear a child. Because it seems that our children here in the Western world are on the loose. They're out of control. They have so many issues staring them down and causing them to face concerns that perhaps you and I did not have to face when we were coming up. It seems that our children need some hands-on direction, but on the other hand, we find that our children are being sacrificed because of our desire to pay the house note, pay the rent, or pay the car notes, 2, 3, and 4 of them, and of course have that extended vacation and perhaps a monetary fund of some kind. And we feel it all necessary to work 2, maybe 3 jobs and both parents be out of the home. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be sacrificing your child to mammon? Is that possible? Is it possible that you are looking around and figuring you've got to keep up with the Joneses to such a degree that you are willing to work those long, hard hours and then tell your children, I'm doing it all for you. I have got to pay your egregious college bill. You know, that's going up all the time. And those dentures that I need to have straightened out, you know, the dental bills and the health insurance and all those kinds of things. I'm just doing it all for you, but has it occurred to you that in sacrificing your child to to mammon, you might be selling them short, cutting them short, because what they might need from you is you. Because it will make a difference in your lives or their lives if you were to concentrate more on them. I'm going to talk about that today in today's program, and I know it's going to just merely scratch the surface. I want to indicate to you what we're offering today that will augment this program and perhaps help you if you're interested. Oh, by the way, don't touch that dial. You're a grandparent or a great-grandparent thinking, well, I've reared my children, but you might have some impact on others in your family, the grandchild, the great-grandchild. And so I'm offering today 2 items. First of all, the brochure, Bending the Twig. This is an article I wrote of about 8 pages several years ago, and it deals with bending the twig, a concept of bending the tree, and how the tree is bent is how it will grow. And also a sermon tape prepared especially for this telecast entitled Children of the Sacrifice. And I will draw into that issues and statistics and all those kinds of things that will make us more aware of the need for hands-on parenting to help guide our children through the shark-infested waters of this society in which we live. Now, how many of you have visited a mall recently? You know, where you go to spend money and make purchases and so forth. Have you been impressed at all, or has it come into your mind in thinking that those who truly control the malls are our children? It's their favorite hangout spot. They're there to meet and greet and socialize and so forth, but have you been stunned by some of their behavior, some of their dress, some of their deportment? And is it an indication to us that perhaps our children are out of control? Now, I'm not an old fogey. Yes, I am the father of 3 children and the father, a grandfather of 4. And I know that children are very important. I know that generations go and come, and the previous generation looks back at the older, the newer generation and says, well, it's not like it used to be. But I don't want to have you think that I'm kind of out of it and out of touch. The fact of the matter is, as a minister of Jesus Christ and an observer of human nature, when we look at statistics, when we look at the conduct of our children, when we look and hear about children in the kindergarten bringing guns to school, now how in the world does that happen? Who is irresponsible enough to allow a child to have access to a deadly weapon and then have them go to school in a show and tell kind of activity, let alone the results of a Columbine that still is fresh in our minds and in our memories? How does it happen? How do our children get so detached from reality and so far out of control that they become an embarrassment to us as a society? And worse, are unprepared to take their place in our society and are so misdirected, spiritually speaking, that when you talk to them of spiritual things, a blank stare comes over their face. Now, this is a generalized statement and does not apply to everyone, but too many of our children are on the loose, on the nut, on the brink of disaster because they are being sacrificed on an altar of convenience. Let me share with you a text, a scripture here today that will underscore it. It's in the book of Leviticus in chapter 20 and beginning in verse 1. In the book of Leviticus, the Creator addresses issues of societal concerns on how husbands should relate to wives, what marriages are appropriate. And yes, it does address homosexuality, which I'm sure we will address in future programs as we have addressed them in the past. But our focus today is on the issue of children. Look at what it says. Again, in verse 2 of chapter 20 of Leviticus, "You shall say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers or the foreigners that sojourn in Israel, that gives any of his seed," that is their children, "unto Molech." Now, Molech was a pagan god, an idol that could not speak, could not see, could not hear, could not do anything, and yet smart, intelligent people would bow down and worship such an idol. And on top of it, literally sacrifice their children to death on an altar to Molech. Now, we're not doing that today, are we? We're not taking our children out except for the missing children that we can't find until later we find their charred remains of their bodies that have been caught up into perhaps some devil worship or some kind of cultish activity. But by and large, we don't sacrifice our children on an altar called Molech, or do we? Let us continue. "He shall surely," this person who does such a thing, "be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." Now we don't do that. If somebody were to go to get some parent who is derelict in their duty, drag him out to the city square and stone them to death, well, they might meet a fuselage of Smith & Wesson products. So that's not happening. But look at the context. "And I will set my face," God says, "against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given of his seed unto Molech, sacrificed his children, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." Here we are as a Christian nation, we say. We are a Christian nation living by certain biblical principles, we say, and yet our children are void of wisdom and knowledge and a future, it would seem, because we have freely sacrificed them to the altar of convenience. We feel we don't want to damage the psyche of our children by being overcorrective. You know, why would we want to go to their rooms and search and see what kind of things are going on there? Why would we want to monitor their behavior on their cell phones? And why would we want to check out what sites they're visiting on the internet? We all know the horror stories that are happening before us every day, but we don't think of it as sacrificing our children to an idol, do we? Shouldn't we reconsider? Shouldn't we consider the fact that that is exactly what we're doing? But look how this scripture goes on. It says in verse 5, "Then I will set my face against that man." Oh, excuse me, let me go back to verse 4, very important point. "And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes, and from the man who would sacrifice their children, when he gives of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I, God says, will set my face against that man or those people, and against his family, and will cut them off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. How serious do you think God was in this ancient time, and how serious do you think he is today with a people who are called by his name when it comes to our children? This is a serious issue, and it's one that should be addressed in pulpits all over this country, in social settings, and in recognition of the need that to fortify our children, to get them prepared for their place in life, rather than allowing them to roam freely as wild animals through the malls of our society, through the streets of our societies. And the only thing that holds them back is winter time, when it's just a little too cold in the northern climes for them to be out and about in the frequency that you will see in the summertime. Look at how they are dressed, if you would. Pierced everything that is pierceable, every part of their body that they can etch something upon, scar it up. And do you know what some of those tattoos will look like when they are 70 and 75, if they should live so long? But they don't think about it when you're 15 and 16 and everybody's doing it, and all of the stars are showing off their tattoos and going through all of their bling bling activity, and parents relinquish their responsibility and say to their children, okay, it's all right because everybody's doing it, and I don't want you to be left out. Don't want to damage your psyche. My mother, who was a single mom, is a single mom. She's still with me. And I can imagine what she would have said. I don't have to imagine it. I can remember what she said when I wanted to get my hair processed, what hair I had back in those days. I wanted to get my hair fried, dyed, and laid to the side, as they say. She says, let me tell you something. I don't care what somebody's doing down the street. You will not wear it in here. And if you do bring it in here, if I don't beat you half to death, oh, yeah, she was a child abuser. If I don't beat you half to death, you will find a new address to abide in. It was just that simple. She laid down the rules of her home. I had to abide by it. I was 15 the last time she laid the rod to me. And what was so disastrous about it was not that I was being beaten, hit or whipped, as the case might be. It was the energy she was having to expend to a 6'1 son, and she was 5'5". But it never occurred to me that I could off my mother, that I could left hook her and take her out, because she promised, if you ever go against my rules, I will kill you and tell the police I did it. Now, what kind of parent is that? Should I give you the number where you can go pick her up for all of the abuse I had to suffer? But look at me now. I reflect back on the fact that she was a parent who took her responsibility seriously. She passed on to me that responsibility that I passed on to my children. And my children now, 32, 30, and 27, look to their father and say, Dad, you're all right. We didn't like it while we were going through all of your instruction, but look at what we're accomplishing now in our lives. And that's all that a parent should want and desire, rather than, on the other hand, being a parent of convenience, of sacrificing them. Don't want to confront them. Don't want to be the bad guy. Want to be their pal and their buddies. My friends, a parent has to live up to their responsibility, because as the children go, so goes our society. And where is our society going today? What is it in pursuit of? A very important question. And we can look all around us and see a pursuit and an appetite for self-indulgence. Now, there's a retrenching a little bit, a reflecting away from that approach, because we see the damage that has been done, but has it occurred too late? Let's consider some scriptures that we should bear in mind. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in verse 6, a very familiar text, and I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Translation, for I think it carries a little more weight to it. In verse 6 it says, I'm turned to the wrong place here, let me just flip over to Proverbs 22 and verse 26 and share with you a word that I probably can quote. I'm certain, but I want to turn to it here in the context. It talks about training up a child in the way he should go. even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'll tell you this story. It'll be interesting to share with you to illustrate it. My oldest daughter, Sharon, has a friend in Houston, Texas, who attends a church there, Sunday observing church. We are Sabbath observers, Saturday observing church. But this particular church, the pastor, over a series of sermons, prepared his congregation for a truth. He told them that they would no longer be observing Christmas in this particular church, because he has found out and proven to himself and then proved to the congregation of its pagan origins. A girlfriend of my daughter called her up because of the conversations they had when they were students together at the University of Houston and said, "Sharon, guess what? I no longer observe Christmas. Remember all the conversations we used to have about your deprivation of keeping Christmas, how your dad was such an ogre about all of that? Well, I no longer observe it also." My daughter had to come to tell me that story, you see, because it had emphasis upon her on the importance of the teaching she had obtained, and she was saying to Dad, "I guess you must have been right. I guess you must have known something, because my best friend tells me that your dad was a Sharpie." Now, isn't that something? Because of an example, because of instruction, because of the very notion here of training a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they come back to it. They don't depart from it. Oh, they may wander for a while. They may naturally rebel, because it's in us to rebel, even as adults. The scriptures tell us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then in Romans 8 and verse 7, it tells us that man's heart is enmity against God. It stands in opposition against God and is not subject to the laws of God because of our carnal mind. So the carnal mind embedded in children and embedded in adults has to be overcome, and instruction and training will accomplish that. Look at some more scriptures that I want to share with you concerning this in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a very interesting passage, it suggests that it's a proverb of Solomon. "And a wise son makes a glad father," or a wise child makes a glad father, "but a foolish child is the heaviness of his mother." Now, why do you think that is put in that way? Now, some of you working mothers, or former working mothers, I should suggest, who thought you could have it all, you've come home now, haven't you? You relinquished that job and they climb up the corporate ladder because you recognize the importance of providing steady, sure, concrete support for your children rather than giving it up to a daycare center. Not that a daycare center is naturally or automatically evil, but it is hard to impose good values on other people's children. That's your responsibility. So this verse indicates that a father may receive pride from the success of a child, but the mother is the one who imposes or gives the instruction. Look further in chapter 17 of Proverbs. In verse 25 it says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him." Now, if a young person is watching this program, and you're probably evaluating it from the point of view of the child or the children who come under this instruction, you know within yourself you want instruction. You want limitations. You want directions. You want your parents to indicate to you that they care for you, that they love you. Hands off is not the way to do it. No limitations, no barriers, no standards is not the way to indicate your love and care for your children, parents. It is your responsibility to guide them, to train them, to direct them, to instruct them in ways of righteousness. The scriptures are replete, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that indicate that to us. In fact, I want to turn over to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, the sixth chapter, Deuteronomy 6. And there's a very interesting passage here. It's in the context of the second giving of the law by Moses as he's preparing to be taken away from the children of Israel, not to go into the promised land with them, but he wants to iterate or reiterate some things that they should know. He tells them in verse 3, in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may be increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers has promised in the land that flows with milk and honey." And of course, in the Western world, what do we not have? What is not accessible to us? We have cell phones for everybody in the family. We have personal computers or laptops for everybody in the family. In many cases, everybody has their own television and perhaps own satellite dish. And in some cases, when they reach the permissible age of driving, have their own vehicles. What is it that we don't have? They get to choose their own clothing, their own style, their own tattoo parlor shop, their own piercing palace. They get to choose it all, don't they? Without any limitations imposed upon them, because they're so weak in their psyche, we don't want to damage them and give them any direction, do we? Well, look at this scripture, beginning in verse 6. "And I command you this day, and it shall be in your heart. You shall teach them," referring to your children, "diligently, teaching the laws diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way," yeah, even in the mall, "and when you lie down," before you go to sleep, family devotions, "and when you rise up," again, family devotions, starting the day out, getting them directed in a proper way. So when you're arguing about whether you can pray in schools, or rather you can have the Ten Commandments tacked up in your schools, why not put it into their minds at home, where it's in their memories, where it guides them through the day, and not to have a phony baloney outward display in a public place? Why not put it inside of them where it can be translated into the public arena rather than having it on a wall where they give lip service to it? That's what this instruction says. And it says in verse 8, "You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. It shall be a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them upon your posts of your house and at the gates. And it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land, which he promised to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities, which you built not, and houses full of all good things when you didn't fill it up, and wells digged," and all of the accoutrements, all of the good stuff that we have that we enjoy in this land, in the Western world, both in Canada, throughout the United States, down in Australia, places that are above the standard of the average person in the world. There then is a responsibility for us to parent our children before they are our most important product. They are the thing that God gives to us and expects for us to do right by them. It is a relational issue. What happens when instruction is given and ignored by a parent? Or what happens when the instruction is not given at all? Look at Proverbs, the 7th chapter, as we are coming to a close in today's program. And I do want you to take advantage of our literature to make that toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. Visit our website at www.cgi.org. You can have the tape in two formats, either the CD format or in the cassette format. All of that is available to you, as well as the brochure. But here in chapter 7 of Proverbs, what happens when you don't provide the instruction, or you do provide it and it becomes ignored? This entire chapter is about instruction to a son. It starts out by saying, "My son," or "my child, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the tables of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman." If you were to do this as a parent, where your child know that they are loved and that your concern is for them, and there is a relationship developed between them, they will follow, as Proverbs 22:6, your instruction, and they will not depart from it, not for all time, because it will be etched in their minds, even as the prodigal son wandered off into a far country in the New Testament, a parable by Christ, wandered away, but he thought about it when he was out there among the dregs of society. "You know, my father loved me, he cared for me, I will arise and go back to my father and his principles and embrace them. Now, our time is out. Stay tuned and listen to my colleague. And next time, we will continue with more wisdom from the Word of God here on the Armor of God. Stay tuned and watch this now.
The family is the oldest of social institutions. It is God-ordained because it reflects the very nature of God. Children are an instrumental part of families who are blessed enough to have them. They are also important to society in general because they represent leaders, developers, and technologists of tomorrow. Bronson James reminded us that God's Word explains we should train up a child when he's young in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. On the other hand, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We need to realize there are a number of various pressures competing for the control of our children's minds. Contemporary society has a very seductive appeal to the fresh, bright, and innocent minds of our youth. We as parents are encouraged to engage our children and develop relationships through sharing experiences. We need to take an active role in guiding the lives of our young people. And there is good reason for this. Perhaps most importantly is because if we don't, other things will take our place and consequently run the risk of misdirecting and sacrificing our children on the altar of godlessness. Friends, dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the free offers that we are providing on today's program. The literature titled Bending the Twig, and the one-hour tape provided by Mr. Bronson James himself titled Children of the Sacrifice. Dial now, tell the operator which format you prefer, CD or cassette, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website at www.cgi.org. Until next time, friends, remember, keep on that whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand in the evil day.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.